Außen der.
Also.
Gott!
Always a pleasure to see you.
It's daylight. For you, it's dark.
Yeah, it's flogging down with the rain, and we've got a thunderstorm. So it's look at the assembled crowd we have here. Hello, Nineball, yep. Nick, Alex, Milton, Andrew.
I would love to see their video as well. That would be cool.
Hello, Freki. Nice to see you. Enjoyed our chat earlier. Thank you very much. Tiki Kao, Kitty Blaze. Good to see Ola and Enable. Thanks for popping in. So Milton has kindly offered to record the space for us and send a feedback.
Oh, God. I didn't get my makeup. Well, now I'm getting onto a recording. Uh-oh.
No, we're not recording video. We're only recording audio, so you're good.
Ah, okay, then I'm okay. That's great.
you can put some chopsticks out your nose or whatever you need to do. Nobody else will see it.
You have shaved. I haven't shaved.
Yeah.
Hang on, I can do that.
Sorry, Jürgen and I had a catch-up before. We just wanted to run through a couple of things that we could present, you know, during this call. And one on the to-do list for me was to have a shave because we were presenting in video. So it's very easy when you're working at home to, you know, you don't have to present to the rest of the world. So it's nice to see everybody.
Well, I mean, there's certainly a filter. I'm pretty sure we can set up a filter which will remove any, you know, facial hair, facial hair and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure. It can give you even hair back. Yeah, you can get.
Really? I'll tell you a story about that in our recent trip in Bangkok. But anyway, oh yeah, Milton, let's not talk about that. Milton doesn't want to hear about that stuff. So, so anyway, lovely to see you. There's a heck of a lot that's going on. A lot of the members here joined us from the community team, and they've recently had an update as to the amount of elements that are coming together, which is really good. It's really rewarding to be able to take the information back to the community. For so long and so often, we're working almost with radio silence, but it doesn't mean that we're not producing. I recently commented that in 5 years in this space, it's the hardest working team that I've ever come across. So it's a pleasure to be part of.
Thank you.
I'm humbled and I'm honoured to represent the community, you know, anybody by wearing, you know, I even wear, you know, I'm wearing the badge. So
you're wearing the badge. Yeah, we need a shop that we can get some shirts and stuff like that from. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, merchandise. I would like to have a coffee cup. I would like to have a cappy, a sweater, something like that. Yes, or all of them, please.
In multiples. Yeah. Actually, there is a conversation going on, extensive conversation into merchandise. So. Please hang tight and we'll see what we can push out. Just with everything else going on, it's a challenge to get through everything. So
yeah, I think that's why we have been quiet. We have not been quiet because we were on leave. You know, that would be wonderful. We have been quiet because we just don't have time. Well, we are, you know, there are so many moving pieces that we have right now. If you look at and onto on our board, what needs to, you know, still, what is still in progress for the launch, it's just crazy. It is just crazy. Yeah. And it's not only the network, but then, you know, Elise, product manager, we get feedback in terms of, you know, how is the product supposed to look like. We have, the market has changed. The market of search has changed a lot over the last 12 months. So obviously we need to make sure that we cater for the expectation the user has when it comes to search today, and involving more AI, involving more Wilson, and, you know, doing stuff on the UI part, where we want to be, is it innovative? Innovative?
Innovative, yep.
Yeah, innovative, where we want to be innovative and want to show new ways while making sure that we are not alienating our users. So there's always this balance between the user is used to how things are. And if you are too far away from how things are, then it's you are alienating the user, and the user has then problems with adopting and, you know, getting used to the new platform. So the balance act that we do is that we show the user something that the user is used to in terms of search, in terms of UI, but then also implementing things that that's new for the user and it's helpful and, you know, cool. But it's always this balance act that we have to do. And obviously, things that we didn't consider before, we now need to consider just because it has changed a lot. I mean, if we look back, we have been around quite long for once.
Yep.
And I think we are one of the few Web3 projects that are still kicking and still around. There are not many. And also in this market, where the market has changed so much that we, you know, have to grow up, get more mature, have a different product that we had envisioned when we started nearly 4 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other day, I just looked up when was the name Timpy chosen? That was, what was it, Kyle? What did I say? 17th of January, 2021, I think, was it,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
So the name, I was sending the name or a few name ideas to my family and said, hey, what do you like? Or do you have other ideas and stuff like that? So that was in January 2021. That was when I started seriously thinking about Timpy and coming up with a name to start with. So has been quite a ride, I have to say. Yes.
Yeah, it sure has.
There's been
many iterations along the journey too. The other one?
I mean, the other one is looking into our technology. So if we talk about, I think we have on the agenda TED V2. And I can talk a little bit about TED V2 and, you know, expectations, why we even moved to TED V2 and will there be a TED V3? Yes, at some point for sure. What we really do is, and I had a chat with Gareth the other day where we talked about approach or what we are. And I compared ourselves with, we are people who discovering a cave the first time. And a cave system, you can say. So we are discovering a cave system the first time. And we have just a torch and our normal tools, what we have, but no one else was ever in this cave before. So while we are walking through this cave, and that's our development the last nearly 4 years on Timpy, as we're walking through this cave in the pitch black, just with our torch, we will, and that it's expected, we will see or come across, gaps or, you know, challenges, whether it's cracks that we have to overcome or it's water that we have to dive through and stuff like that. And we don't know what else will lay ahead. We don't know that. But every time we came across something like that, where we had to dive, it's cool picture. Thanks, Kitty Pace. Where we have to dive through through a narrow piece or whatever it is. You know, we looked at it, we analyzed it, and we found a solution, and we moved on. And that's what it is. We can't ask anyone, hey, what did you do? Because there's no one who has done it. And that's the really hard part. And it's expected that we find things that we haven't thought about before, that we have our, you know, narrow places or our other stuff, our where we have to build bridges to go to the other side. It's just expected. I'm not surprised by it. And some of them slow us down and some of them don't. What I can say is we're getting more and more experienced in this cave. And things that we come across now do not surprise us that much anymore. And that's a huge step. So I think we have discovered a huge part of this cave system. And I do see light at the end of the tunnel. Not that light, but you know. So it's coming coming along quite nicely. And I think the challenge that we had in addition to that, the cave is constantly changing. Because the landscape is constantly changing, things that we have thought about 2 years ago about our infrastructure are now have changed a lot just because of introduction of AI, for example. So obviously the cave has changed and our environment has changed. And we are just steady walking one step after the other. And if you could see what we see when it comes to all the pieces fall into place. You know, the puzzle is slowly coming together and the pieces are not far away from the place where they are supposed to be. It's amazing what comes and what we have done in the last couple of months.
Not only that, it's the community members that we attract or the team members that you guys have built too. You know, we've got a very talented and experienced group of people that are working hard behind the scenes. And this here is a space where we talk about the technology, but there is equally, if not more, stuff that goes on in the background, you know, like preparation for a node sale, preparation for the search to go to the pre-beta, you know, the implementation or all the different elements, website design, you know, regulatory requirements, partnership agreements, community outreach. There's a heck of a lot of stuff, let alone, you know, what the community guys do here within the Discord. So we've got a heck of a lot going. If I could then start, I've got a few things that I want to get through with you. We've recently pushed a collector update, and I was wondering if you could give some statistics around the numbers that the collector network, what we initially saw, and then what we're seeing currently and the reasons for why we're seeing the current numbers.
Yeah. So when the update got pushed out, we saw an increase in pages up to, I think it was 21.5 million pages per hour. That translates to, hang on, who's faster than me?
Working on a 28-day calendar month.
So if we work on a weekly base, that means 3.6 billion pages per week. That was what we saw initially. The network has now slowed down a little bit, and we are seeing something around the 15 to 17 million pages per hour. That is because of the geocores. So we have a limited number of geocores. And this limited number means that the geocores are getting overloaded if they would allow a free flow right now. So what the geocores do is they slow down the collectors, and it's based, you know, it's a base function of the protocol. So it is meant to be, and that is why we now stabilized at around 17 million, between 15 and 17 million per hour. That's where we are sitting right now with our network, which is amazing. I mean, you just take a minute to let that sink in. The index of Bing has a size of about 7.5 billion estimated, I have to say, because they don't publish any numbers. So they have an index size of 7.5 billion. And even if we say that is not the real number, that's only, you know, half of what they in reality have, let's take them 15 billion pages in their index. 15 billion pages, that would mean for us something along the lines of 6 weeks. And that's really amazing. So obviously we go to some pages more often and some other pages we only have to go once and stuff like that. So, but it's the scale itself is huge. And that's what I'm always saying. It is a lot what we have in terms of data. And that brings me back to, with this huge amount of data, obviously we will have in our deployment, you know, challenges that we have to overcome, technology challenges that we always have to overcome. Remember, we have a decentralized environment. Everyone else is running nicely from their data center where the servers are connected with 0.5 meter of fiber, and we run it completely somewhere. And we don't have this this luxury of having, you know, a fast internet connection or a fast network connection between nodes. So for that, what it is and where we are right now, it's amazing. And TEP V2 is just the next iteration that implements the experiences that we had or that we were able to get with TEP V1. So, for example, we found out that having one large network with guardians, for example, with over 500 nodes, having one large network puts a lot of strain onto the zookeepers. So the zookeepers are basically the entities or the software that keeps the entire network up and running and updated. So by having so many nodes on, there is a lot of that is unnecessary. And in some cases, it is also it will cause some outages because of timeouts. So TEP V2 removes that, for example, so it's one part that TEP V2 is addressing by reducing the amount of nodes that is managed by a zookeeper, by a group of zookeepers, because we are increasing the number of zookeepers and increasing the zones, the number of zones of zookeepers. So that means a zookeeper group has less guardians they need to take care of. So that's right. All things that were no one were able to tell us up front, hey, you have to do it that way or you have to do it that way, because no one ever tried to do it. So no one, even Solar itself or Apache at this point, we are working with a guy who is actually from Apache Foundation. They haven't tried that yet. So we are, right, for them, a case study as well, which is pretty cool. So, and that's TEP V2 is doing that. The other one that TEP V2 is doing is the registration and the auto triangulation. So triangulation, mm-hmm, means just through the network, we will identify where are you, what's the best location or region that you might fit in. And then it will assign you to this region, and your guardian will start and connect to this region. What we also have introduced is auto-updating. So every time we push out a new version, all guardians are updating on their own. They're restarting themselves. They do everything that they need to do to just keep up to date. And the whole process only takes minutes. So that's improvements on TEP V2, where we once have the network stability enhanced, but also from a user perspective, you don't need to update anymore if you're on TEP V2. You don't need to take care of, oh, am I on the latest version or not? Every node is automatically on the latest version because we have an auto-updater. Sure. So that's pretty cool. I'm talking too much, do I?
No, I actually find it very easy to host because you cover many.
Thank you.
No. So you cover many of the topics that I have to address. You know, triangulation was a significant one. So I would ask specifically on the guardians and the triangulation complication, how close are you in relative, I mean, not to use the word soon, but how close? You're a long way down the track for the triangulation issue. How many guardians are currently utilizing storage?
We are at around, I checked this morning, I think we are at around 100 guardians that we are actually using live, mm-hmm, that have storage on there. It's even a little bit more. Oh, no, it's more. Sorry. About 100. So about 100 nodes are utilized with storage, and that's the United States East Coast. That's Wikipedia, that's the news, two more are coming now. So that's already there. So they are utilized and they're getting more and more. Mm-hmm. We had this it wasn't a triangulation issue, actually. It was a coordinator issue that was storing the wrong data in the database. The triangulation is working, but it was always storing an empty field in the database, and then it tried to do stuff with an empty field. So that's pretty bad. it doesn't work with empty. If you expect a string and you get nothing, then it's not doing what it's supposed to do. So that problem has been solved, and it's going to be
okay. Let's try this again. Yeah, I have no idea what happened. Okay, thank you, everybody. Thanks for the direct message too. Sorry about that. I have no explanation as to why that what happened there. It wouldn't be a Timby. It wouldn't be a Timby AMA if we didn't have. Sorry.
You can't say that. The last one went very well. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've relocated since the last one, and my internet.
Yes, you did. Poor,
so that may be on my end. That's so any apologies. It looks like we haven't lost.
It also means we don't do them often enough, do we?
No, but we don't want to just present AMAs just, you know, to talk and laugh at one another either. We're really about bringing conversation that is relevant to the current situation as well.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that last time. And I think there is a lot that we could, and that's the other question. I put the question to the community, basically. I could geek out a lot on what we are doing. The question is it of interest when we geek out and do really more details and you know, things that we come across that we need to think about and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So that's a question I give to the community. I'm happy to do really geeky AMAs and that more often to talk about, okay, what is it we are looking at, what is it we are addressing. We still have a few challenges. NDA said that's good. Yeah, obviously we can do it without NDA. I can be careful, but yeah, it's a few things that are really interesting. So we were with TAP V2, I think, and the benefits of TAP V2.
Triangulation, and you were talking about Guardian. So it wasn't the issue with the triangulation. It was more about the empty string in the index and the story.
Yeah, so that was why the triangulation works very reliably. It's really good. It puts you into a lab environment if you are outside of the accepted latency for any region. So we have regions across most parts of the world. We do have some regions that do not have their own coordinator and zookeeper set up yet. Alex, I'm looking at you. We need to talk. I know. I haven't forgotten about you. It's just, well, you know how it is. So basically, we have a few, white spots on the map that need to have their region configured. And if you are one of those that are ending up in the lab environment, it will trigger a retriangulation as soon as we introduce new regions to see if you fit into this new region. So the plan is actually we cover the entire globe. And there is no one in the lab environment unless their system is really, or the internet connectivity is so slow that the latency is too. like you. Yeah. So usually it's, you know, we are very close to most people. I don't see a big issue, or I don't think it will be an issue. But if you have, you know, something where the latency will be really high and stuff like that, you will end up in the lab environment, which is not an issue. We utilize the lab environment as a set for testing, pre-staging and stuff like that. So it's all good. You will get your normal rewards as you're used to. You know, there is, from a user perspective, no difference. It's just for us to, it's just for us to have a lab environment that we can test deployments on software and schema files and stuff like that. So that's behind it. As I said, I will see that we have that update live on Monday latest. So that all the nodes are now joining into the right regions and subregions.
Somebody say he's telling date, times. Who Who's this for like seven times?
No, I don't like the word soon. So let's get cracking on dates.
Okay.
So Monday is the latest. We need to push out one schema file update. We need to push out one coordinator update before I'm comfortably pushing out the Guardian update. And then all the Guardians that are online right now always check if there is a new version. And if there is a new version, then they automatically pull the new version and restart itself. So that means they will automatically go through the triangulation process and then will be in the right area or in the right region. So that's no problem. Yep. And then we have all the nodes online. As I said, we are using somewhere around 100 nodes already with data. And it's pretty cool. When search? Yeah, I mean, search is there just for a limited group of people. We have our, what is it now called? How do we call it? Alpha 3, beta 1?
Alpha testing.
The first round of alpha testing is finished.
Two rounds. We've actually done two rounds. We've done an internal team and then
we have two rounds.
Yeah.
And so we have done two rounds of testing. Yeah.
Yep. The feedback from that had presented some UI changes that we wanted to implement, and then also the integration of the refreshed index. So the Guardian storage feeds into the search ability, you know, the response and results that we're getting. So everything is in the network is connected, obviously, and we need to have each element as a deliverable. But we went through the alpha 1 and 2 to look at the functionality of the website. The website's pretty much finished. There's a couple of UI integrations that we're working through right now with the designer and the developer. So they are well underway, and that's thanks to Alyssa and her input there, which has been really, really good. For those that didn't see, Alyssa was recently added to the team as a product manager, and we made an announcement on Twitter as, you know, to her her appointment, and she's been fabulous, like with a wealth of knowledge and experience specifically in the industry of search engines. So
she came back a lot of things.
So we'll go to a pre-beta conversation within the team again, and then we'll be pushing out to the Templars. The Templars will have the very first opportunity outside of the team for access to search. So we want to make sure that we're giving you guys the best possible, you know, result-driven search engine experience with what we've got. It was interesting in a conversation I had with Martin recently, and it was about, you at the beginning you were talking about expectations, you know, that have been set. And with these large tech companies having the dominance in the market, they set the expectations. So we've become conditioned to an environment that has been held by these big tech giants. So what we're delivering may give different results, but what we're trying to achieve is that it's specific to what people are searching for, and we're not manipulating the data. Because I think why the transition is moving to language models and AI is because of the fact that people are putting the resistance up to the fact that searching these days is just ridiculous. You can just sidestep that big tech company and get a different search experience, which is what we're looking to deliver. So,
yeah, I think that's a very important point that you just, you know, mentioned there. So, yeah, the big tech is basically creating the standard of how search is supposed to be, because the users are getting used to what Google shows them, for example. I mean, we can call a spade a spade. It's about Google the majority of time.
Correct. Yeah.
But which works in our favor is at the moment Google is really getting, from a search point of view, really bad, in my opinion, or it's not only my opinion, that the search results itself are not really, it's not high quality anymore. So, and what we have to do and what we have to keep is basically the look and feel. I wouldn't say look and feel, but the processes and the the number or the amount of information that a user would expect from a search engine, and that includes a GPT or a large language model response and stuff like that. And if I talk about large language models, yes, users moving more and more into large language models, but then you have to ask yourself, okay, who trains this model? And what's their agenda? And it's similar to what we have on search. It's very similar on the large language models as well. And it's not a secret that ChatGPT and all the others are biased. I mean, every large language model is biased because it has been trained on a set of data, and this set of data has been filtered by humans. So every model is always and automatically biased, which is challenging, obviously. So by introducing a way that you can incorporate search in AI, and the other way around, AI into search, is how you can make a difference. So how the user can still make up their own mind while being helped or supported by large language models. So, I mean, from our point of view, the large language model should always be a helping hand, but it shouldn't tell you what you are supposed to believe or not believe. So it should point you in the right direction, very efficient.
Is that like doctor?
What, sorry?
Is that like
the
doctor?
The doctor. You know. No, the doctor still tells you what you need. You know, it's more like a friend, like Jarvis, where it points you efficiently in the right direction, but it doesn't take away your ability to make a decision or to form your opinion. So there is a fine line between, hey, how about you look at this, this, and this web page, instead of telling you the truth is A, B, and C. Exactly. So we only tell you, okay, hey, how about you look at this, this, and this? That would be really cool because that talks about that topic. Rather than telling you, yes, the earth is round.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of factors that go into this, into the creation of the search too. I mean, there's elements around not safe for work content or child pornography or gore content. You know, like there, we have an unbiased position, but we still maintain an ethical community standard where we also have to abide by certain legislation in different geographic locations. So there are parameters that we work within to keep the user of the search engine safe from having to experience that stuff. So it's a lot. It's a lot more than it. Yeah, it is a lot.
Yep.
But we're funneling into a point where we've got a lot presenting, over the next 6 weeks. So, I'm looking at it with a little bit of anticipation because I know there's a fair bit of work that we've got to get through to get to that, just at least to the node sale. But this is why we're all here, people. We've been here for 4 years. Yep. And this is where the rubber meets the road, and this is the whole reason for it. This is changing the world and offering a different alternative. So, really, I'm amped to get there. So, except that it's 9:30 on a Friday night, and it's been a long week. But really excited for it. Recently, I had the pleasure of reading one of Mustengo had produced one of the article pieces for us for the content, and his topic was the hidden cost of free search. And I shouted him out last time we spoke, but it's just an eye-opening experience when you deep dive into the cost of search engines and their ability, how deep they are, that they're tracking. There's a podcast that I think Mustengo shared, and it blew me away. It was 40-odd minutes of a couple of chaps talking in America about just what is actually going on. And it made me go to my iPhone and turn off some certain features, instantly, because it was quite concerning. we're educating the world as well, because there's a lot of people that don't have the time to understand what it is that's going on with the current patterns. So, I didn't actually intend to feature so much on search, but I think this whole conversation leads into the reason why we haven't fully released into beta at this point in time, because of these elements that have led into it. So you will be aware that we've pushed a recent update on the Synaptron. I think that went out 24 hours ago, perhaps. Simon's been working hard in the background there as well. So that's really good. I do want to shout out to Jono. Many people, like Jono had my role, had Andrew's role, had everybody's role for a very long time, and you don't see a lot of Jono at the moment, you know, within the community, but behind the scenes, Jono has been doing incredible work. He has been putting together a lot of the dev support stuff and the network connections and, you know, maintaining our systems. So thanks, Jono, specifically, you know, not to just single you out or, you know, not recognize the other members of the team, but I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that. So I think we could probably transition into the GeoCore. We've announced that the GeoCore sale will start on the 29th of July. That will come around very quickly at this rate. And what can you tell us about the GeoCore? Specifically, I had some questions, but I just wanted to lead you in to talking about the GeoCore and its role within the network and the significance of having the set size that the founder set size that we're initially releasing.
Yeah. So the GeoCore is responsible for managing the majority of it, managing the collectors, providing the collectors with domains, taking on the pages that get back and stuff like that, but also analyzing the pages that come back in terms of in what regions do they fit, what language do they have, what content, what category, and so on and so on. So we have added a lot of tasks onto the GeoCore before it goes into the Guardian. So, and that makes it necessary that we increase the lot size of the GeoCores. We also have seen that the collectors have been a lot faster than we have anticipated. So, and that means, yes, considerably faster. And that means we have more pages that come through. And more pages means the GeoCores have more to do. So while we started off at some point with 20 to 1, I think in the early stage we said 20 to 1, so 20 collectors to one GeoCore. That is not possible anymore. So we are more looking towards the 1 to 2 or 1 to 3 area, somewhere along that lines. And that makes it necessary that we have more GeoCores, basically. It's also redundancy and resilience to our network, as you know, more GeoCores can fail before the network goes down. So that's a very important part as well. So that's their main role, is really managing everything that comes in and everything that goes out. So basically managing the entire collector network. And it's a big task. It manages where do we have to go, when do we have to go there, when do we have to go there again, and stuff like that. So there is a lot that's going on. Also, if it's in terms of language detection, it's not only the language, but also if it's is it offensive and stuff like that. So that's all on the GeoCore, basically.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, that's a great explanation, because we initially did have a smaller set size than we intended.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to talk. We've released the article. I'm pretty sure that most people here would have seen the specifications for the GeoCore, but we haven't really spoken about the uptime requirements for GeoCore, and that was something that we wanted to have as a conversation, so people are aware that there will be requirements for the GeoCore.
Yeah.
What's your intended uptime requirements long term, and then, you know, as we get established?
So short term, or for the starting point, we're looking at about 95% uptime. That would be our goal. We see it on the Guardian network. That's a number that is achievable, and it gets achieved by most of our Guardians right now. And Guardians are similar to the Geo course; they need to be online. So we are starting off with that. Our long-term goal would be 98 plus. That would be our long-term goal. But as we just introduced TEP V2, we think it would be fair to just go with 95, because there could always be, network outage on our side that stops them from counting, basically. So we want to make sure that, we have a fair environment. The other benefit is, since we have, and we haven't talked about that as well, for TEP V2 has a DNS service. So for the Geo core, it is not necessary to have a static IP address. And you do not need a dynamic domain service or anything like that. You don't need to do anything. It's basically all run through the network. So the network itself identifies if you have a change, identifies the IP address change, and then communicates this throughout the network. So you can do it with a dynamic IP address. Do need to have open ports still, and you also need to have a decent internet connectivity for both download and upload.
Yeah, the specifications are listed on the website for those who haven't already seen it. I'm pretty sure everybody would have, and there will be more information that we will release that will encompass all of this in one place. We'll put all those pieces together so everybody is fully aware of the requirements.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a big system, which is the benefit. It's more the internet connectivity is quite important, but the rest is, it could be even, a system that sits on your shelf.
Yeah, thanks. I'll take that into consideration. Looking from the outside, the Geo Core has high requirements, but a low payback.
The Geo Core per IP, yeah. Yeah, so multiple geo cores per IP key, it's possible. There was a question in the chat.
Yeah, thanks, Norm.
So it's possible, no problem. You can do that. It's a combination of several IDs and keys that differentiates them. And obviously, the ports are different. So the geo cores, as I said, will have open. And you need to have a dedicated port, TCP port, for each. But it's no problem to do. Similar to what we have with the Guardians right now.
Just excuse me just for a second. I've got something I've got to deal with in the kitchen, apparently. Sorry.
Something is burning. Yeah, so the on the minimum requirements was 95% of minimum uptime. And then we will increase it over time to something like 98% plus. That's our goal. Okay, now I'm sitting here on my own. How about you ask me some questions? Otherwise, I will start. No, I will not start singing. No. Can we get some leaks? Yeah. Oh, now he's back. Oh, bummer.
I'm here. Sorry. Some leaks. No, we're not giving any of the leaks. They're growing in the garden. I'm here. I was listening. Don't worry. We've got an insect infestation. Tropics, is it? An enjoyable place to live, but it's a different experience. So, big. These things are big.
There was a question about the dashboards. So that's the Milton. I think you talk about the Node dashboards. Or what dashboards are you talking about? Yes. Okay. So Node dashboards are search, or they're running. As we are deploying the new updates on TEP V2, and I'm also working on the new node management page for the user as well as for the admins. I can't tell you a date right now, but I would suggest is something between next week and the week after next week.
Perfect.
Yep.
Andrew? Did you guys get that? Yeah. Okay. We got that recorded. Yeah.
Well, Tempe have its own browser or just a search portal. Can we talk about
To be determined. This one.
To be determined. Okay.
Yeah. We'll come back with information about those topics there at a later point in time. Just at the moment, if we start opening too many conversations, it becomes a bit messy. TAP V1. What is the intended period that we'll be running TAP V1 before there needs to be the full migration of node updates?
So after the node sale of the Geo course, when we have course online in TAP V2, we will then start moving collectors into TAP V2.
Okay. So keep an eye out for information on that one too.
So the reason behind it is we don't want to have our own Geo course in TAP V2 again. And then, you know, running them first and then moving everything over. Now we wanted to do it basically to have our own Geo network, the user Geo core network on TAP V2 up and running. And then we start moving collectors over.
Yeah, okay. The Geo core post sale, how long would it be before they would be available for the community to run?
Probably immediately. So. I think when the sale stops, you can then download or pull the Docker. It will be in Docker, by the way. So you can pull the Docker container and then run it. You have to register your Geo core before you run the Docker container because you get an ID, and the ID is utilized also on the Docker container. Yeah,
it's a very similar process, exact process to the Guardian.
It's the same process as with the Guardian. You get you register your node on the platform. You get a ID, and this ID is used to start the Docker container as well as some of port information. If you run more than one Geo core in one system, you can define the ports the Geo core is running on, and that's about it. And then on the management page itself, as we have it already on the Guardian that we haven't published yet, but it's there. You can remote control, remote check, and remote view all the log entries. So that means you can, from everywhere, you can basically check on your node. You can see what it does, what's the storage, what's the CPU memory load, and so on and so on. But you can also remotely restart it. Obviously, everything behind your wallet. So it's not that anyone else could just go and do it. It's all behind your wallet. And it's with encryption keys on the protected, so you can't utilize the APIs for something you are not supposed to do.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Nick, on the marketplace, it will be post Geo core sale. We've got a couple of components to finish in the NFT marketplace, and then we have to go through a testing process and. It's not feasible to deliver before the Geo core sale. Tiki's asked, when do we expect to stop issuing nodes and raising capital, except it's driven by hard network demand?
I think that's now supposed to be our last round. I think there's one node that we are looking at that might come.
That might come.
But that's about it.
Yeah. So very soon. Just for context, we are currently under 1,500 nodes running this network. That number is astonishing to me, that we have the capacity to build the index we do with such a small set of nodes. I'm glad I've been collecting.
I mean, we always followed the, our aim was always to issue as many really needs and not just issuing them for money. It's whatever we ran in the past and the next one for GeoCore as well. These nodes are really important to us. These nodes are really needed. It's not that we just do it for shits and giggles. And we always follow that process, and it will stay like that. We will move into the process where we, where the protocol will basically issue the new notes if needed. So obviously our long-term, or our 7.5 billion size index with images and so on, we will need more notes, that's for sure. And but that was always in our business plan, that was always planned, and we have exactly the number that we need in terms of index size, how that translates into how many notes do we need from what type. So it's always driven by the need of the network that we have that.
Yeah, the next node conversation is still in, it's a whisper, should we say. There's nothing really deep to be able to talk about at this point in time. As the network demand requires, we have to be fluid in this space as well with the requirements of a decentralized network.
We can't predict the future. We don't know what feature we might need or want to introduce, what maybe users are requesting at some point, which requires maybe a dedicated node to be able to do that. So we don't know that yet. I could know, but I can't. You haven't signed the NDA yet. But I could go into, you know, stuff that we have outlined and we want to do. And, you know, there are things that might require something like a note later on. We don't know yet. It depends.
Hey, by the way, if anybody wants to come up and talk, you're more than welcome. This isn't the Jürgen Kyle show. This is, you know, you guys are the most important people here. We're just in the background sweeping up, you know, like without you guys, if you want to come up, by all means, you're more than welcome. There was a question, any news on addresses? So this would be domain names, and the simple answer is no. I'm assuming this is on domain names. Addresses. What you mean?
Can you elaborate, Nick, on that?
No, Nick put a question, any news on addresses? I think he may be meaning domain names. He's typing at the moment.
Faster.
Yeah, domain address, domain names, domain address.
Sub pages, or what are we talking about?
sorry.
Landing pages. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, landing page.
Landing.
Yeah.
The landing pages. Yes and no.
Hang on. Yeah. We've got mixed messaging here. It's from the loot boxes. It's domains. So it's domain name. So in the loot boxes from
Okay. They are utilized.
Yep. Okay.
They're utilized for the landing pages. So it's coming. Yep. It's coming very soon. We are at the moment in the process of doing the UI. So we already had one, was basically a proof of concept. And this proof of concept now goes through design phase to adjust it, or, you know, align it with our designs for the web search and stuff like that. So it's coming certainly this year. Let me put it that way.
Thanks. These outline stuff, like, don't go too deep into these other things, please, people, because it's we don't want to give it a disservice by kind of glancing at it, but these topics that will have significant requirement to be elaborated on, like Nineball, there will be conversations on further into the future for monetization of Timpi, absolutely. We'll bring Gareth forward for that conversation. Him and I have been talking about introducing those conversations, but it's also when the time's right. Just at the moment, you know, we are bogged and heavy in our build. So those other elements are definitely front and center, but priority wise at the moment, they are, or especially forward facing, they're just not something that we're going to go through.
We have to, so it's what we are working off on a high level is a phased plan. So we have several phases that describe what is released. And these phases are defined by what is manageable, what's the workload on that, what's the priority and stuff like that. And that helps us to prioritize and to actually get shit done, basically. So every discussion right now about other things that are not related to phase one release is basically not allowed, and Matt will slap me and everyone else. So yeah,
that's right.
It's
No. You're an easy one to tame. It's Gareth.
Gareth is the hard one.
Connected to a cow prodder, and every time I've got this little button, see this little one. It's like no date, but you know.
It's getting there.
Yeah, not that we don't want to commit to something. It's just, you know, this is a big thing, and there's a lot that goes with it. So
yeah, I mean, it's the same. We could probably talk hours about the Templar and the Templar verse. We could fill an entire. Just talking about that.
Yeah. Actually, I saw Mustingo had a comment in there about the Templars, and like, I am busting at the seams to bring the stuff out. Maybe at the next community call, I'll give you a teaser on it. Actually, I'll run you through it, and I'll show you what we're doing, because it's
there's a lot of work going. Yeah, Kitty Blaze.
Yeah.
Yes, Kitty Blaze. Yeah, they're Templarverse. I call it Templarverse. I think the name fits, doesn't it?
Templarverse, yeah. Not bad.
It somehow it does. It does somehow fit. Yes, we haven't.
Who's this bloke?
We haven't called it like that, but it's actually Templarverse. It's something like that. It's a huge. It's just great. I love it.
I just saw Booze Kittens in the crowd. Like, that's got to be the greatest name that I've ever come across in any community. And Kawika, it is very nice to see you at an AMA. I have to say, I appreciate the fact that you've taken the time to come and get the update from the horse's mouth. This bloke here, he's on my right on the screen here. This is the guy that I talk to, and he's here talking to the community. So,
but you're on my left.
So this guy here, whoever you are, this guy, the other guy here. So appreciate the fact that you've made the time to come and have a listen to the conversation. New Explorer for New Taro. No, we have nothing to update on that just at the moment. Jono created the forward slash capability, but Lucas and I are actually in conversations about potential here with ping.pub, just need the time to explore it. So yeah, not that I mean anything to do with coding at all, any sense. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's don't get us wrong, we would love to pick up all the bits and pieces, but we are really fully concentrating on the release and this phase to get the search engine out, to get you guys, especially in the first instance, the Templars, the opportunity to go there, give us feedback, but then also to do the public release, and everyone is completely 100% focusing on that, getting it ready, getting it done, not rushing it. And that's the difference. So obviously we could have released 5 months ago. I mean, we had the first iteration of the web search, we had that more than a year ago. And it's still up and running. So the TAP V2 storage is still up and running, and the TAP V1 storage is still up and running. And the front end was built last year, so we could have released a year ago. But that, it doesn't reflect, or it didn't, it wasn't good enough. It was just not good enough. So it was working. Yeah. It was doing what it's supposed to, you know, for presentation on some, when we were to, at events, we presented it. So it was good for that, but it was not in a state where we felt comfortable. Okay, that's now, that's it. That's what we want to go out with. And we need to make sure that what we release is good, and we only got one shot. So when you release to public, you will be compared with Google. You will be compared with, you know, the big guy. And we need to make sure that we have something that is unique. It is good enough for, in terms of quality, in terms of results, all works together, and it takes time. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I kind of liken it to when we're definitely a long way away from our first vehicle, but we're not quite at our dream car, but we're very close, you know, like.
Yep.
Yeah. And the work that's gone on is colossal in the background. So, Alex, I've deliberately been avoiding your question about how much bandwidth does the GeoCore require, because your geographic location is struggling at the moment with your current internet requirements. But how much internet bandwidth would the GeoCore require, approximately?
So we are running most GeoCores on a 100 Mbit connection, and that's not fully utilized. So we are using a lot of compression, so that helps us to keep the amount of data down. So I would say, obviously, we need to make sure we have down. So we can't have something like 5 Mbit upstream and 50 Mbit downstream. It should be something like 25, 25, 50, 50. That would be good. We would get away with a little bit lower upstream than downstream. That's possible. As I said, we're using encryption, and it can be configured. The GeoCore configures itself dynamically based on performance. So when it sees that there's too much delay, then it will basically tell the collector to go somewhere else. And that's one of the reasons why we have quite a large bucket of GeoCore, so we can really distribute the load across all the nodes, which then reduces the load per node.
Wonderful. We've ticked on an hour, and I think we've covered most of the things. Nick, I don't know the answer to that osmosis exchange question, but I'm sure we can bring that up with Gareth when we talk with him. I've just quickly done a scan through the questions, and I'm fairly confident I haven't missed anything. If I have, I haven't done it deliberately. If there was one last, if we were calling for last drinks, have you got another 5 minutes that we could just run through any of the other community questions while we're here?
Sure, go for it.
If the latency is low on a geocore, does that affect the uptime?
What? No. So the uptime is really the geocore to the network and tells the network, hey, I'm here. And that's all what we measure in terms of availability.
Yep.
So there's no latency measurement between the network and the geocore, the coordinators and the geocore, that the geocore gets punished for having a high latency. That's not the case. It could happen if the latency is really high for the region. So if you are sitting with a geocore 50 or 60 milliseconds and you are sitting at 2,000 milliseconds, that could lead to a problem, because then I assume, or the network would assume, you have a network. But normally it doesn't. You wouldn't end up in a region where you have this high latency, unless you do have a network.
Okay. Thank you. Stengo wants to know, are nodes deployed, monitored for specs to make sure they match the official requirements?
Yes, we will start this process. We haven't done that in the past.
Synaptrons we have started.
Yeah, Synaptrons we do. Guardians. So for Guardians, we also do. We don't enforce, but you should have the minimum requirements for and or for the system. Yeah. So we are getting the information. Storage, RAM, what CPU, how much cores or how many cores and stuff like that. We have this information.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that draws us to a close. I can't think of anything else that I'm able to talk on.
Without NDA again.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot I can talk about. I could sit here all night and talk about lots of different things, but
yeah,
I might not be coming in the office on Monday, you know. So, yeah, I'm always blown away with the conversations Gareth and I have. If I could say that the delivery of search has more value to us than just a search engine, should we say? You know, a lot of Gareth's conversations recently have been very interesting. So, yeah, this is a journey for us. There's a lot of opportunity and scope, but having the product available, having the index built, you know, fully built, and updating and functional is just going to be quite a cool thing. Thank you, Jörg. Thanks very much for your time. You know, Andrew and I, we quite often say, and Jono, that it's our greatest time, hour of the week is to get a call with you. It's lovely to be able to bring you front and center to the community. We know that you're flat out busy. Like, we've been, just for reference, we've been nagging you about the node management page for weeks and weeks. And
I know,
you know, he's flat out with it, with everything else, and his commitment is to come through and get it done for us, but it'll be a priority thing. So do hang with us as we go through this trial and error, as we go through the cave. We're all cave dwellers at the moment. No, I feel like one.
You are in the dark. If you think about it, it's really like that. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And we appreciate the patience from the community. You know, it's been a big thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially this year has been colossal for the development of the network, and the build that's gone on the background with the people that are inputting the information and support has been, you know, stellar. So,
I mean, the pages that we do and that we have and stuff like that, the new design that we are now releasing soon and stuff. So there is a lot that's going on right now that, you know, we are just in the last little bits that need to be adjusted.
Yeah. Yeah. And great. So we appreciate the patience. The support is
just
incredible. We've got a great community here and, you know, looking forward to the future of what we'll be able to deliver. Not only with search. Search is, you know, we're at the beginning of the beginning. That's the most exciting thing.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot yet to come. So, wonderful. I think that's us. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Lovely to see you, Nine Ball, everybody else. Community guys, you rock, you know. And Jörg, of course, thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys, and up till the next time.
Next one's with Gareth, and planning for next week. So stay tuned to make some announcements. All right.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
See you.
See ya.
See you all. Bye bye.